Welcome back. Thank you for supporting us in 2023 and the past 3 years. As our final show this year, we wish you a fantastic holiday season and look forward to bringing you more episodes in 2024. To wrap up the year, we're highlighting one of our top episodes from the beginning of 2023. Stay tuned after a word from our sponsors.
I've learned the hard way to only work with the best. For anything related to business accounting, bookkeeping, and finance, the team at Monpack is my go-to. They've absolutely nailed it in taking care of me at the 3 to 4 startups I've worked at previously. And anyone that works with them can't endorse them enough. Their SaaS accounting service is sophisticated, scalable, and an amazing value. For me personally, they're trustworthy, high integrity, and just great people. Grab a free consultation with one of their experts at monpack.com. That is monpac.com. Monpack.com. If your business is earning millions, stop what you're doing and take a listen to what offer NetSuite by Oracle has just rolled out. At my last company, we used NetSuite to have much more visibility to our business in terms of what was working, what was not working, what was coming in, what was going out. 33,000 companies have already upgraded to NetSuite, gaining visibility and control over their finances, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and much more. And for the first time, NetSuite is allowing you to defer payments of a full NetSuite implementation for 6 months. There's no payment and no interest for 6 months. And you can take advantage of this special financing offer today. If you've been sizing NetSuite up to make the switch, then you know the deal is unprecedented. No interest, no payments. Take advantage of this special financing offer at netsuite.com/scale. netsuite.com/scale to get the visibility and control you need to weather any storm. That is netsuite.com/scale. Welcome back to another episode of the Uncharted Podcast. I have a good friend, Mark, who's with a company called Lark. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
We'd like to kick it off with a quick personal business bio. Give listeners some context on who Mark is.
I was born in France. My family's Hungarian originally. I grew up in Switzerland. I was very lucky to travel around quite a bit. I went to college in the US, and I've spent most of my career now in Asia Pacific. Started my career in banking. Back then, tech was not so interesting. The banking and consulting were the hot things. Very quickly realized that I didn't like banking so much. It didn't give me too much purpose in life. And as I was growing up, I also always really liked the environment and the outdoors. I grew up in Switzerland. I was fortunate to be able to spend a lot of time skiing, which is one of the big loves of my life. I really appreciated the outdoors. And as I was starting to look for something else to do, I came across this company that was involved in trying to implement the Kyoto Protocol and fight climate change. And so the stars aligned because I was looking for something that could make money that was a business, but that was just more than, let me go and manage some rich people's money. And this seemed perfect for me. It was business driven, but we had the chance to help fight the biggest problem of our age, which really is climate change. And so I joined these guys, spent a year with them in London, and then moved out to China, which I was very excited about. I studied Chinese at university. I was an East Asian studies major at Brown. And so going back to China and to work in China was hugely exciting for me. I spent 3 happy years working in Beijing and traveling around China, followed by wanted to get a more formal business degree or background. So I went back to Europe to get an MBA. And after that, I was moved by my company to Singapore. And that was now 12 and a half years ago. I've been in Singapore for the past 12 and a half years.
Out of all the places you've been and traveled, which one do you think has had the most impact on you as a person?
That's a difficult question. All the places I've been to a certain extent have an impact. And I don't mean to duck the question. And I think that when you travel somewhere as a tourist and you go just to visit, you spend a week in a country, that's nice. None of those places I would say have had a massive impact. But what really has are the diverse places I've lived. I grew up in Europe. I lived there. I studied in the US. I spent 4 years there. And then I've spent big chunk of my adult life in Asia. And that accumulation, that diversity has had an impact. And probably the biggest impact it has had is to show me that, while cultural differences are real and people do things in very different ways and think about things in very different terms, We are all fundamentally human, and we all want the same thing. We want it in slightly different ways, but I think, you know, ultimately, we're all one race. We all want the same things. And I think that has had a very, very big impact on how I, you know, relate with people, how I try to live my life, and how I try to go about my work.
Love it. There's more commonalities than differences, to say the least. One of the things I've admired just from your bio, reading about you, is like, let's call it like this adventurous nature that you have, like wanting to learn new things. Where does that come from? Like, has Mark, like, was that something you were born with? You think you developed it over the years?
I think it's part nature, part nurture. I think I was born with it. I was always more interested in meeting people, talking to people, doing things, reading, than sitting around. And then I think the more you do something, the better you get at it. And the more it drives us. You know, in French, they have a very interesting saying, l'appétit vient en mangeant, which means your appetite comes as you eat, right? So the more you do something, the more interested you are in it and the better you get at it. And so I think to answer your question, it's a little bit of both.
How do you think that's helped you in your current role, whether it's at Lark, a previous company? Like, how do you think that's benefited you or maybe worked against you?
It's probably benefited me in a couple ways. The first one is that I would certainly not be where I am today if it wasn't for the languages that I speak. Because I work for a Chinese company, and part of the reason that I'm here and that it's easy for me to work with the company is that I speak Chinese, or at least I speak some level of Chinese. And that helps me a lot. And that helps me in understanding the environment that I'm in, the context for certain discussions. And, you know, and I'm here because I spent 3 years in China, and had I not studied East Asian studies and picked up Chinese, I probably wouldn't have ended up in Beijing for 3 years. I think the second way it helps me is gives me a lot of context around, you know, how I think about business decisions. You know, there is a wider world out there. Are you doing something just for, you know, a small segment, a small slice of people, or, you know, small market? Or do you want to put things in a larger context? And especially in my current role as GM at Lark, I have a duty to think more widely about and more purposefully about what we're doing. And I think that breadth of, you know, different languages, but also different cultures, different people, is something that serves me very well today. You mentioned that how has it sort of hurt me to a certain extent? I think one thing it has done is sort of made me less sure for a long time of where I belonged, or, you know, what I was going to do. It gave me sort of a wider possibilities. But when you have more possibilities, making a choice becomes more difficult. Certainly choosing what industry to focus on, where I want to be geographically in life, that has been for me probably a more difficult decision than, you know, if I had grown up in the middle of the United States speaking only English, right? It would have been natural for me just to stay there. So
it resonates a lot, because like sometimes optionality, people think it's a good thing, but the downside is like, you're always thinking in the back of your mind, like, am I making the right decision? I always think it comes at a cost. Like, it's a good thing. You should be grateful, but it does in some ways, like, I think, become a little more challenging. And the other part where I think like we're similar in a sense that like maybe we're like adventurous, and like when you're adventurous, right? Like the work you do like has to inspire you, and you just really, I think on a value basis, you need to align with it. So like in your current role at Lark, how are you able to bring to reality some of these values that you care about, whatever it may be, whether it's around communication, it could be around being adventurous. How are you able to do that in, you know, at your current organization or past organizations?
So what does Lark do? Lark is a collaboration and communication tool. And if you focus on the communication part, right, this is me. This is super important to me. And so it matches up my value system and what I believe in, matches up really well with what Lark actually does and what Lark tries to facilitate. The way it sort of inspires me is my remit is looking after Asia Pacific. And Asia Pacific, even though I look at what I look after is ex-China and ex-Japan, it's still not one homogenous, you know, region. There's vast differences when you look at Australia, Korea, even within Southeast Asia, and people think Southeast Asia is a monolithic block. That's not true. It's six large economies that are all very different. Thailand is very different from Vietnam. It's very different from Indonesia, very different from Singapore. And whenever you think about all these different markets, you have to put a local hat on, because you need to deal with these markets and the people there locally, that people relate to by who they are. When it comes to work, that inspires me a lot and drives very well with how I think and who I am.
What's been the hardest responsibility as a general manager?
The first and the biggest one for me is time management. I came from a sales background and it was quite simple. I was responsible for revenue coming in. I talked to clients, and when I had to, I talked to my colleagues and my management team. But fundamentally, I was out there building a pipeline and just, you know, talking to clients and, you know, trying to bring the dollars in. Now, that is also part of my role. Obviously, that's something that's delegated to others and I need to empower them. But there's a lot more people wanting a slice of my time. So time management and balancing, how much time do I spend with the customers and making sure that they're cared for? Spending time with my sales team and understanding where they're at. Spending time with my marketing team, spending time with my customer success team, spending time with my pre-sales team, being the face of Lark in APAC as well, conferences, talks, and trying to give my staff time of day as well, doing one-on-ones, doing skip level one-on-ones. You know, there's a lot more. And so that time management and how I manage that is challenging, because at the end of the day, I still need to save time for me to do my own sort of thinking and planning, which is not an easy thing to carve out, for me at least. That's been super challenging. I'd say a second thing is balancing likability and gravitas. You know, we want to build a flat org, an org where people get along easily, where it's, you know, the open door policy or no door policy, right? At the same time, you know, I have to recognize that, you know, I'm the GM of this business and, you know, I have certain responsibilities. So how do I balance this, you know, being friendly, but not overly friendly, right? How do this friendliness versus this gravitas is an intriguing balance to find. I'd say last but not least, focusing on areas that I'm less familiar with. It's very easy for me to revert to spending a lot of time with the sales team and thinking about sales, partly because sales brings in numbers and it's important, but that's what I've done for a long time. How do I sort of not spend too much time doing that, hold myself back and force myself to spend more time with customer success, with marketing in areas that I'm less familiar with?
I have a really hard time sometimes saying no when I need to say no, because I think you can maybe resonate with that. Like, And I think in a GM role, right, you're consistently having to push people saying no, you know, like trying to be the mediator between different teams. Like, it's just bound to happen. So how have you learned, you know, like to cope with that? Because yes, you have to do that in the GM role, but guess what? We have to kind of do that in our day to day, right? Like, what's helped you when it comes to that specific section?
Well, first of all, I don't think I have it completely figured out yet. I think I have a long way to go. But I think what helps me is to keep the goal in mind, right? What are we going towards? What are we driving? What is the mission, right? And when you keep that in mind and you sort of walk yourself backwards, like, okay, how do I get there? And what is it that I need to do right now, right? What do we need to do? And then it always helps that, you know, I try to explain to everybody always that this is not personal, right? This is where I think we need to go. And I try to create a forum where people, you know, can express their thoughts and their opinions. And I tend to want to do something that, you know, I heard Bill Gates say once, the most senior person in the room should speak last, because otherwise people tend to agree with you all the time. And I try to put that in practice, because I want people to bring up their comments. I want there to be a debate and if we can get to consensus, that's great. You can't always get to consensus. And at the end of the day, I was very clear with my team that I want to create room for discussion and debate. But at the end of the day, there is one decision to be made. And if I have to make that decision, I will. What I ask of people is, once a decision is made, let's all rally behind that decision and pull in that same direction. And then if it becomes apparent that that is the wrong direction, we operate in an agile way. We switch, right? We pivot, we go in another way. But if we're all pulling in different directions, the result is we basically get nowhere.
I'm just curious, in the areas that like are a little, let's say, newer, fresher to you, let's just pick marketing, for example. Like the thing I sympathize with you on, and frankly, anyone that's managing a marketing team, unlike sales, like there's like 7-8 different parts of marketing. There's like event marketing, there's freaking SEO marketing. How have you been able to, you know, develop that muscle for the different functions within a bigger umbrella? Like what's helped you in the 1 year that you've been there? Because there's no way you're going to be an expert right overnight on all those levels, but like you got to know enough to kind of move the needle. So I'm just curious if you have any tips there.
I think for my first tip is, you know, hire a marketing manager that is a specialist that understands these things better than you, right? I'm the GM, but that doesn't mean I have all the answers. Typically, I don't. Other people have more of the answers than I do. We just have to be very conscious of hiring people who have those answers or who know better how to work to get those answers and empower them to get there. And if they have to hire, then like make sure they're hiring the right people to help, you know, fill their blind spots. I think Steve Jobs said something like this: you want to hire smart people and then let them empower them to do what they do. Right? That's super important. I'm lucky that I have an exceptional marketing manager who actually understands these things and looks at them. And then I think a lot of the rest of the stuff is common sense, like business acumen, right? Asking the right question, like, am I going to know the details of SEO and SEM? No. But why do we do SEO and SEM? Well, we do it so that we, you know, rank higher in search results so that people looking for communication and collaboration tools find Lark. That translates to more leads. That translates to more sales. So if I look at my sales funnel and how many leads are coming in and a conversion rate, then I can see that there might be a problem because there's not enough leads coming in. And so then I ask the marketing team, why aren't there enough leads coming in? Or what are we doing to boost those leads? And you know, part of the answer is, well, what are we doing on SEO? That's what I expect them to surface and tell me.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Hire good people, get out of their way, and just know the basic common sense things that you need to know to make sure you're driving towards them. Mark, this has been fantastic. Before we say our goodbyes and our thank yous, the one question we love to ask everybody is, if you could go back to any time, what piece of advice would the older, better looking Mark give his younger self?
What I would say is, don't rush, don't stress, take time to explore. I was always thinking of the next thing, you know, in my personal life, oh my God, who am I going to marry? And like, how is it going to be? And when's that going to happen? Professionally, it's like, okay, when am I going to make it to this stage? When am I going to make this amount of money? When am I going to do that? You know, I have to have it all figured out. And the reality is you don't. Life happens and you will get there. Just, you know, explore, enjoy, what do you love doing? And, you know, things will fall in place.
It reminds me of a really good book, Alchemist. And one lesson I took from that book is like, focus on the journey, you know, like stop worrying about the destination. Cause as soon as you do, like your life has passed. Always a nice reminder to focus on the journey. Well, Mark, this has been fantastic. I can't thank you enough. We'll catch you and the rest of the crew on the next episode. I've learned the hard way to only work with the best. For anything related to business accounting, bookkeeping, and finance, the team at Monpack is my go-to. They've absolutely nailed it in taking care of me at the 3 to 4 startups I've worked at previously. And anyone that works with them can't endorse them enough. Their SaaS accounting service is sophisticated, scalable, and an amazing value. For me personally, they're trustworthy, high integrity, and just great people. Grab a free consultation with one of their experts at monpack.com. That is MONTPAC.com. Monpack.com. If your business is earning millions, stop what you're doing and take a listen to what offer NetSuite by Oracle has just rolled out. At my last company, we used NetSuite to have much more visibility to our business in terms of what was working, what was not working, what was coming in, what was going out. 33,000 companies have already upgraded to NetSuite, gaining visibility and control over their finances, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and much more. And for the first time, NetSuite is allowing you to defer payments of a full NetSuite implementation for 6 months. There's no payment and no interest for 6 months, and you can take advantage of this special financing offer today. If you've been sizing NetSuite up to make the switch, then you know the deal is unprecedented. No interest, no payments. Take advantage of this special financing offer at netsuite.com/scale. netsuite.com/scale to get the visibility and control you need to weather any storm. That is netsuite.com/scale.